Concept of bailment. Bailment is a contract where the bailor transfers goods to the bailee for a specific purpose and an agreement to return them afterward, which means that you are actually hiring out or renting out those goods to the bailor, by the bailor to the bailee for a specific purpose. Let's say the bailee has received a contract and he wants certain equipment to be loaned to him for completing the contract. Now, this is where he would be the bailee and the equipment supplier would be the bailor. Kinds of bailment: gracious bailment. Anyone, either the bailor or the bailee, gets the sole benefit, which means that while this, in our example, the bailee gets the equipment, but he has agreed, or rather the bailor has agreed, that there will not be any amount that he needs to pay him. Anyone, either the bailor or the bailee, gets the sole benefit. That here in our example, the bailee is getting the sole benefit. For bailor's benefit, goods are transferred for the bailor's benefit only. Now, in this case, when the bailor, when we say that it is the bailor's benefit, is where the goods are transferred for the bailor's benefit only. That means only the bailor is benefiting due to that transfer of goods. For bailee's benefit, goods are transferred to the bailee solely for their benefit. As we said in the example, the bailee hires out that equipment just so that he can complete the project without any benefit to the bailor. That would be for bailee's benefit. Non-gracious bailment: both parties gain mutual benefits, which means that there is going to be, the bailee is going to benefit from completion of the project, and then the project holder or the project nominator owner is going to pay him the required amount, and he in turn returns the amount, returns the equipment or whatever he has loaned from the bailor along with certain compensation which has been agreed by them as mutual benefit. Essential of valid bailment: agreement, requires an agreement, requires delivery of goods for a specific purpose or a time, and return of those goods. This is where it is considered as a valid bailment. Agreement: a bailor transfers goods for a purpose, bailee returns them after completion and receives payment for his services. This is pretty clear. The bailor has transferred the goods for a purpose to the bailee returns them after completion and receives payment for the services, which means that he pays the bailee, pays the bailor for the, for using or for loaning the equipment. Delivery of goods: the bailor delivers goods to the bailee for the purpose, and delivery can be actual or constructive. Actual delivery refers to the physical transfer of goods. Constructive delivery is when possession is transferred through documents, not physically. Let's understand the difference here. Delivery of goods: the bailor delivers goods to the bailee for the purpose, and delivery can be actual or constructive. What is actual delivery? Actual delivery is where the equipment or the goods are physically transferred to the bailee. Constructive delivery is when possession is transferred through documents only, not physically, which means that on paper only you mention that these machines are transferred to the bailee, but there is no physical transfer that is actually taking place. Purpose: bailment occurs when the bailor transfers goods for a specific purpose, and once the purpose is completed, the goods are returned to the bailor. Return of goods: bailment ends when the bailee returns or disposes of the goods as directed by the bailor. Let's understand this. Purpose: bailment occurs when the bailor transfers goods for a specific purpose. That means, let's say we were talking of some construction equipment being transferred by the bailor to the bailee for the project of maybe making a road or constructing some structure. And once the purpose is completed, the goods are returned to the bailor. That means after the purpose has been completed, the bailee needs to return the goods to the bailor. Return of goods: bailment ends when the bailee returns or disposes of the goods as directed by the bailor. So if the goods have met their end of life cycle and the baler feels that now returning the goods is going to incur an extra expense, he would tell the bailee, advise the bailee to dispose of the goods as required, maybe scrap them or whatever. And that is what the bailee would have to do, but it will be termed as or accepted as return to bailer. Duties and rights of bailer. Duties of bailer. Duty to disclose any defect, section 150. The bailer must disclose defects in goods if unknown defect, bailer is aware of the defect, unseen defect, defect is not obvious to the bailee, which means that the bailer is obliged to to inform the bailee of a known defect. That means the bailer is aware that there is a problem with his equipment which he needs to inform the bailee. Unseen defect, defect is not obvious to the bailee, which means that the bailee may not see the defect, but he should be informed when there it is considered as an unseen defect. Precious bailment. If the bailer fails to disclose a defect and the bailee is injured, the bailer is liable, unless the bailer was also unaware of the defect. Now, let's say that the bailer has a business of loaning this equipment, construction equipment, to different contractors. Now, if the earlier contractor made some kind of a damage to the equipment and the bailer did not see that damage but passed it on to the next bailee, that means to the next person who wanted this equipment to be loaned. In such a situation, if the bailer fails to disclose a defect because he is not aware, but the bailee is injured or one of his people is injured, then the bailer is liable. But he will not be considered liable for any punishment if the bailer was also unaware of the defect, which means the actual liable person in this case would have to be the earlier person, earlier bailee. However, in a given situation, it was not always easy to go retract and see, because the contract, if you remember, the bailment was completed or was considered as fulfilled when the goods were returned back to the bailer. Non-gracious bailment. If the bailer fails to disclose a defect in hired goods, they are liable, even if unaware of the defect, which means that if the bailer hired out some goods from the market because he was not able to meet the bailee's requirement from his own stock of goods or his own inventory, but there was a defect in that and which was known to him, but he did not disclose it, then they would be liable even if they were unaware of the defect. Duty to bear expenses. In the case of gracious bailment, the bailer must repay the amount incurred by the bailee for carrying and keeping the goods safe. Here, now we are talking of a different situation, a situation where the bailer is not actually loaning out the equipment, but he is asking the bailee to hold on to certain goods for him for a certain period of time. Now, in this situation, if it is a gracious bailment, in case of a gracious bailment, the bailee must be compensated by the expenses or the amount as agreed before the bailment took place. In case of non-gracious bailment, bailee pays ordinary expenses, but bailer pays extraordinary ones, which means that the bailee will incur certain amount of expenses for running that equipment or holding on to those goods. However, the bailer has to compensate the bailee completely. Duty to indemnify bailee. Bailer must indemnify bailee for any loss suffered due to the bailed goods, which means that if the bailer owned some goods and he had kept them with the bailee for storage, the bailer must indemnify the bailee for any loss suffered due to the bailed goods, which means that if the bailee incurs certain loss or suffers any loss due to the bailed goods, then the bailee needs to be compensated. Rights of bailer. Right to claim damages. If the bailee fails to protect the bailed goods, the bailer can claim damages. right to terminate the bailment, section 153. If the bailee breaches the terms, the bailor can terminate the contract. Right to get back the possession of the goods, after the purpose is complete, the bailor can reclaim the goods. Let's look at these rights of the bailor. The right to claim damages. If the bailee fails to protect the bailed goods, the bailor can claim damages. That means that the items which were bailed out to the bailee suffer some damages. During the time that they are in the possession of the bailee, then the bailor can claim damages for the damages to the bailed goods. Right to terminate the bailment. If the bailee breaches the terms, the bailor can terminate the contract. That means if the bailee is using the goods for his own benefit, for something without informing the bailor, then the bailor can terminate the contract. Right to get back the possession of the goods. After the purpose is completed, the bailor can reclaim the goods, which is what we saw as part of the bailment agreement itself. Duties and rights of bailee. Duties of bailee. Duty to take reasonable care. If the bailee fails to protect the goods, he is liable for compensation. This is very clear. If he has taken some goods from the bailor, he needs to protect those goods, because they have to be returned and he does not really own the goods. Duty to not to make unauthorized use of goods. Unauthorized use of goods by bailee results in liability and contract termination. If the bailee has been entrusted with holding on to goods as for a time period under a protected area or a protected place, then he cannot use those goods for his own purpose or anywhere unauthorized. He has to have authorization from the bailor. In most cases, he would not get that authorization, as a result of which, if the bailee violates this condition and uses those goods for an unauthorized use, then he may be liable for any other punishment as well as contract termination. Duty to not mix the goods. If the bailee mixes the bailor's goods with his own, with consent, the interest is shared proportionally. What this implies is that the goods are kept with the bailee, but when they are kept at the warehouse or at the storage space, they are mixed with the bailee's goods, with his own goods itself. Now, when the bailor has a person who is wanting to buy those goods, the first step is that the goods need to be returned to the bailor. Now, in such a situation, since the goods are mixed, but the bailor has found a buyer who would like to pick up the entire quantity, which means the quantity that is owned by the bailor as well as the bailee, then the interest or the compensation that they get will be shared proportionally. When bailee mixes the goods without bailor's consent, there are two situations. When goods can be separated, bailee bears the cost of separation. So, which means what we saw the earlier case was when the bailor had agreed that the bailee is free to mix those goods between the two parties. When the bailee mixes the goods without bailor's consent, that means the bailor has not agreed for a mix of the goods, but the bailee goes ahead with that. In such a situation, when the goods can be separated, the bailee will have to bear the cost of separation. When goods cannot be separated, the bailee must compensate the bailor. That means the bailee, only the bailee's records or his figures of how much quantity was available from his side will not be accepted and will have to compensate the bailor. Duty to return the goods. After completing the purpose, the bailee must return the goods to the bailor, which we saw as the precondition for a bailment. Duty to deliver the bailor increase or profit, if any, on the goods bailed. The bailee must return any increment of the goods to the bailor. What this implies is that the bailee has kept the items with him, if they are in his possession, and there has been an increment of the goods in terms of, let us say, we are talking of, let's take a situation of some plants or some plants which are kept with, or if you look at a very specialized example of honeybees. In that case, there is a likelihood of an increase or increment of the goods that the bailee holds. In such a situation, the bailee must return any increment of the goods to the bailer. Rights of bailee. The bailee also has certain rights. The right to claim damages. The bailee can claim damages if injured by a defect in the goods known to the bailer but undisclosed during transfer. We saw this right in the beginning, that the bailer will have to compensate the bailee if there is an injury due to an undisclosed or an undetected defect in the goods that were being transferred. Right to claim reimbursement. The bailee can demand reimbursement from the bailer or expenses incurred in keeping the goods safe. The bailee can demand reimbursement from the bailer for expenses incurred in keeping the goods safe. Let us say the goods that the bailee has taken are susceptible or can be affected by monsoons or by rains. In such a situation, the bailee spends money from his pocket to protect those goods by moving them from his own area to a secure warehouse which has got protection from rain. In such a situation, this extra expense that he incurs will be compensated by the bailer. Right to particular land. If the bailer fails to pay the bailee for services, the bailee has the right to retain the goods until payment is made. This means that the bailer has to, while the bailee has the duty to return the goods, the bailer must pay him or compensate him for his services. If he defaults or is not able to make that payment for services of the bailee, the bailee can hold on to the goods till such time that he receives his payment. Bailer and bailee. Right of bailer and bailee against the wrongdoer. If a third party wrongfully deprives the bailee of goods, the bailee can use the bailer's remedies. Which means that if a third party whom the bailee is trying to do some business with deprives the bailee of goods, that is, he doesn't get them back or there is some damage, the bailee can use the bailer's remedies. That means the bailer, who is the actual owner of the goods, can use his rights with the third party. Concept of finder of goods. If a third party wrongfully deprives the bailee of goods, the bailee can use the bailer's remedies, which means that they can hold on to the goods for such time that the actual owner of the goods is found. Finder of goods. Rights of finder of goods. Right to lien. The finder of goods can retain them if the owner refuses to reimburse the expenses incurred in finding them. Right to sell. A finder of goods can sell them if the goods are perishable, the owner refuses to pay lawful charges incurred by the finder. Duties of finder of goods. The finder of goods must keep them safe. What are the rights of the finder of goods? He has the right to lien, which means that he can hold on to the goods unless and until he is reimbursed for the expenses incurred in finding those goods by the owner. Or he has the right to sell. He has the right to sell those goods if the goods are perishable or if the owner refuses to pay him the lawful charges incurred for finding the goods. What are the duties of the finder of goods? The finder of goods must keep them safe. That means he needs to ensure that he protects them. Pawner. Concept of pledge. The pawner gives goods as security for a loan. If unpaid, the pawnee can sell the goods after notice. The pawnee must not misuse the goods. Rights of the pawner. Right to redeem goods. To redeem his goods, the pawner must pay the owed amount to the pawnee. Right to claim damages or compensation. The pawner can claim compensation if the pawnee misuses or damages the goods. Let's understand the role of the pawner. Concept of pledge. The pawner gives goods as security for a loan. If unpaid, the pawnee can sell the goods after notice. What this means is that the pawner, that is the owner of the goods, keeps his goods with the pawnee for a loan, as security for a loan. Now, if the pawnee is not paid by the pawner, then the pawnee can sell the goods after notice to recover the amount that he has loaned. The pawnee must not misuse the goods. He cannot, however, misuse the goods when they are in his possession. What are the rights of the pawner? Right to redeem goods. To redeem his goods, the pawner must pay the amount, the owed amount, to the pawnee, which means that if the pawner wants the goods back, he needs to pay up the amount that was loaned to him by the pawnee. Right to claim damages or compensation. The pawner can claim compensation if the pawnee misuses or damages the goods, which means that the goods, when they are in the possession of the pawnee, should be protected by the pawnee at all times. He cannot misuse the goods or let any damage happen, because if it does happen so, then he needs to compensate the pawner when he is returning the goods. Duties of the pawner. Duty to pay the loan. The pawner must repay the pawnee to redeem the goods. That means the loan is on a returnable basis only. Duty to pay extraordinary expenses incurred by pawnee. The pawner must cover any extraordinary expenses the pawnee incurs for keeping the goods safe. So in case if the pawner needs to hire out a place or needs to buy some materials to protect the goods, then the pawner needs to incur those extra expenses and compensate the pawnee wherever he makes those expenses. Duty to pay claims and damages or compensation to pawnee. If the pawnee suffers legal damages due to the pawner's goods, the pawner must compensate for property damage, legal costs, and business loss also. What this means is that the pawnee holds the goods for the pawner as a result and gives him a loan. Now, when the goods are in the pawnee's possession, there is a property damage due to the goods, which means, let's say, for example, the goods contain certain fumes or certain things which made his family sick, or damaged certain property. That means that some metal parts which were in his house or which were kept along with the materials started corroding, or there was some damage, physical damage to those goods. In such a situation, the pawner needs to compensate all the property damage, the legal cost, and the business loss of the pawnee. Rights and duties of pawnee. Rights of pawnee: right to retain goods. If the pawner fails to pay, the pawnee can retain the goods, which means that the pawner holds on to the goods till the time the loan amount against which he is holding those goods is not paid to him. Right to get compensation. The pawnee can seek compensation for damages from the pawner's goods, which we saw earlier. Right to sell. The pawnee can sell the goods to recover the amount if the pawner fails to pay, which means that if the pawnee can sell the goods to recover the total loan amount of the pawner. Now, the reason that the goods are kept with him is for exactly this reason, as a security if in case the pawner is unable to pay the loan amount. To get extraordinary expenses incurred by him. The pawnee can be paid by the pawner for extraordinary expenses related to the goods. We looked at this in terms of extraordinary expenses incurred to keep the goods safe. Duties of pawnee. Duty to take reasonable care. The pawnee must care for the pawner's goods as if they are his own, which means that if he needs to have some materials to cover them or take proper care, he needs to do that. Duty to give back the goods after repayment of the loan. The pawnee must return the goods once the loan has been paid. Duty not to make unauthorized use of goods. The pawnee must not misuse the goods and is liable for compensation, which means that the pawnee cannot misuse the goods or sell them as if they are his own In that case, then he will be liable for compensation. Duty to give back the owner any increment in the goods. The pawnee must return any increment in the goods to the pawner, which means that in case if it is some item which grows in volume over a period of time, then the pawnee must return whatever is that increment also to the pawner. Duty not to mix the goods. The pawnee must not mix the pawner's goods with his own. So he needs to definitely maintain a separate demarcation in the warehouse or in the place of storage between his goods and the pawner's goods. Pledge by mercantile agent. The pledge is valid if the agent has consent and the pawnee acts in good faith. Pledge by the person in possession under voidable contract. The pledge is valid if the contract isn't revoked and the pawnee acts in good faith. Pledge where pledger has only a limited interest. The pledge is valid if the pawnee acts in good faith and is unaware of the limited interest. Let's understand this. Pledge by mercantile agent. The pledge is valid if the agent has consent and the pawnee acts in good faith, which means that the agent has permission from the pawnee for the pledge of the goods. Pledge by the person in possession under voidable contract. The pledge is valid if the contract isn't revoked and if the pawnee acts in good faith. This implies that, let's say, the pawnee doesn't have the required money of the loan amount. So he would further pledge these goods to a mercantile agent. In this situation, when he has pledged the goods to a mercantile agent, the pledge is valid if the contract isn't revoked and the pawnee is acting in good faith. Pledge where pledger has only a limited interest. The pledge is valid if the pawnee acts in good faith and is unaware of the limited interest, which means that he is not totally aware of the entire contract, but is unaware of the limited conditions and the limited interest of the goods. Pledge by co-owner in possession. The pledge is valid if the co-owner consents or if the pawnee acts in good faith. That means the goods are owned by whom? The goods are owned by the pawner. Now, if the pawner is the co-owner of the goods, he needs to give his consent for the pledge. Or if the pawnee doesn't inform the pawner, but he is acting in good faith, then the pledge by a co-owner in possession is applicable. Pledge by seller or buyer in possession. A seller or buyer can pledge with consent. Without it, the pledge is valid if the pawnee acts in good faith and is unaware of the title, which means that, let's say, the pawner gave some goods to the pawnee. The pawnee is not aware of who has the ownership, actual ownership or the title of the goods. But he agrees to sell or buy and can pledge with consent. What we are saying here is a seller or buyer can pledge with consent, which means that he takes consent from the pawnee about the goods and goes ahead and makes a deal further. Without it, the pledge is valid if the pawnee acts in good faith and is unaware of the title that was mixed with respect to the ownership of the goods in the first place. Relation between pledge and bailment. Bailment similarities. Only movable property is pledged. Bailee, pawnee, return goods. That means both of them need to return the goods back to the bailer or to the pawner. The bailer and the pawner covers extra expenses that the bailee and the pawnee may incur. Bailee pawnee compensates for damages. In case if there are any damages that the pawner or the bailer incurs, then the bailee and the pawnee compensate for damages. Differences. Pawnee can't use pawned goods. Bailee can if allowed. Bailment is for a purpose. Pledge secures a loan. Differences again. Pawnee can't use pawned goods, which means that a pawnee cannot actually use and make good the goods by selling. He just cannot. There is no authority available to him unless the pawner has agreed to it. The bailee can if he is allowed. Bailment is for a purpose. Pledge secures a loan. Bailment is as we understood, bailment is for a specific purpose that the goods are bailed out, and but the pledge here is with respect to a loan, which means that it is the goods in case of a pawner and pawnee is where the pawner has given pledged some goods in return for a loan. Bailment is for a purpose, which means that we understood that the bailment of goods is with the bailee because he is required to complete a purpose or a project, whereas the pledge in case of a pawner and the pawnee is that the goods are pledged against getting a securing or getting a loan or securing a loan. Thank you.